May all stand if you like. Go before the word, Lord, in prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, what a wonderful opportunity, Lord, to be gathered again this night, Lord, to praise your wonderful name, Lord. And the most important part, Lord, is to come hear thy word, Lord, and grow, Lord, and just be pleasing to you, Lord. That's what we want in our lives, just to be pleasing to you, Lord. Just have your way in this service. Lord, let us sing from the bottom of our hearts. Give everything unto you this night. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask and pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. Amen. Let's turn our capstone life books to page 9. God delivers again. As so many times. Amen. Standing there at the Red Sea, God's people began to complain. Soon Pharaoh and his mighty army would take us in bondage again. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Moses did cry. Same book. Amen. Can't feel at home in this world anymore. Amen. Amen. This world is not my home. I'm jealous, but I see through. My treasures are laid up. And I can't feel Songs of sweetest praise, and I'll be right here right now. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let's page 53. Over a couple pages. Gospel ship.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Soon to take a trip. I have good news to bring, and that is why I sing all my joy with you. I share. I'm gonna take a trip. In the good old gospel ship, and go sailing through. Amen. Oh, I'm gonna take a trip in the good old gospel ship. I'm going far beyond the sky. Oh, I'm gonna shout and sing until the heavens ring. When I'm bidding this world goodbye. Oh. Shout and sing until the heavens ring. Then one of the verses says, for I'll spend my time in prayer. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God, the word of God. Amen. Amen. Let's sing it again. Oh, I'm going to take a trip in the good old gospel ship. me songs come to your mind when you're prepared. Yes. Amen. Amen.
Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, truly there should be such an excitement burning in our hearts, Lord, for Lord, what you've done for us, what you are doing, Lord, that place you've prepared for us. Oh, Lord, we just pray you'll draw us ever closer to thee, Lord, that we just serve you and please you in everything we say and do. We thank you for this opportunity you've given us this evening to be here, Lord. We want to always give you the glory and the praise. Lord, we just ask it as we come to this portion of the service that you'll bless this offering, Lord. May it be used for the building of the kingdom. We ask this in thy precious holy name, Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. You know, all the word he's given us, the word he's given us, and the praise and the desire that's burning in your heart, you can't help but sing that song. Amen. I got so much to praise him for.
Oh, yes.
Amen. I've got
so much to praise him for, so much to praise him for.
Thank him for his word. Amen. Praise God. Brother DeLong, if you mind taking the request.
Gracious Lord, we're so grateful and thankful to be here again to thy glory. Really, we say in that course, Lord, there's so much to thank you for. Lord.
Amen.
Thank you for what you brought us from, Lord. Each one of us, Lord. If we would just take the time to just stop and think where you brought us from, Lord. All that you've done for us, Lord, we surely would have such a praise in our hearts, Lord, that unto you, Lord, and for you. We pray tonight, Lord, for the requests, Lord, tonight, that whatever the need might be, that you just move through by your Holy Spirit, Lord, that by God, each need will be met according to thy will and according to thy purpose, that would bring glory and honor unto thy name. That we pray tonight, Lord, for thy word that comes forth, the message you get your man forth. We pray that the glory of thy Holy Spirit, that thy God will be upon us, O God. And you just come down to the Lord in a special way, Lord, that the words would come forth, Lord, and then touch our hearts and stir our hearts, Lord. Yeah. walk with you, Lord, that thy promise surely now be the desire of everyone, Lord, that thy call is to have a closer walk with you.
Amen.
Especially in this hour that we're living in, Lord, that thy God, so much evil, that thy God, so much Satan is fighting on every hand, and trying to destroy your people, Lord, and we know that through your grace and your love and your mercy and your predestination, Lord, that so we'll be able to stand the test. We ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's just remain standing and sing that little psalm on page 67. Thy loving kindness. Amen. Thy loving kindness is better than love. Thy loving kindness is better than love. My lips shall praise thee. The
precious Lord, we are so thankful to be gathered here this evening and to feel your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we didn't come here to get you or to feel you. Lord, we brought you with us. And Lord, before we came, we should have felt you. And Lord, when we come through those doors with a sweetness in our hearts, Lord, as we sing the precious songs that's been sung this night, oh, what a joy ought to go back to you. Lord, what a reality it ought to be that we're going to take a trip, Lord. What a reality it ought to be of what you've done for me, Lord. Oh, each song, Lord, how it ought to just bubble up within us, Lord. Lord, it might just be words, but Lord, if it's a reality in our life, then it's not just words anymore, Lord, but it's an expression of what you've done for us back to you. Lord, we are so appreciative for the word that you've given us in this hour. And Lord, as the little song says, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Lord, I once was blind, but by your grace I now see. And Lord, if I truly can see that I was in that position and that was me, Lord, how that song ought to roll off my lips with the sweetest phrase, hold back to you. Lord, how great you are. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. We pray tonight, Lord, that you will bless these few words that you've laid upon my heart, that it would help us someone along the way, Lord, and encourage us or strengthen us, Lord, whatever the purpose would be. That it would be to your glory and honor, that, Lord, we would be more like you in everything we do and say. And, Lord, we'll never fail to give you the glory and the honor for everything. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask these things. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, don't you love him? Amen. Hallelujah. I could sing all night, you know. Just love these precious songs we sing, and just so wonderful what God's doing for us and where he's brought us from, where he's taken us. And how, if you can see that in your life, and how great and thankful we ought to be. Appreciative. But while you're still standing, I'd like to turn tonight at just a little thought that wasn't quite what I had taught this morning. I was just asking the Lord what I should bring, and he laid a scripture upon my heart, and I kind of was thought about it all day, and I looked at it and was thinking along a different line, and right before service, it kind of changed, and I just, so we're just going to start here and take it a little bit here, some quotes and things, some scriptures, but Hebrews 11, and excuse me, amen, Hebrews 11, and we'll read that, start there at the 24th verse, very familiar scriptures, but just listen. And by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. For by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. And through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. And by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians essaying to do were drowned. May the Lord bless you in his word. You may be seated. Amen. As a lot of things goes with that scripture. But tonight, I just want you to think of something a little bit different. We read a lot of scriptures in this Bible. The mighty works that God did through all these prophets and the men of this Bible. But I want you to stop to think tonight, just for a minute, of what people saw in these people before they'd done these mighty things that God had ordained for them in their life. And just kind of put yourself back in Egypt there for a moment and just stop and think how Moses, born a peculiar birth, and his mom and dad realizing God had showed him that he was the proper child. But here he was raised up within the Egyptians. And if you would have been back then and you would have looked and seen Moses, you would have seen an Egyptian. He would dress like him. He lived like him. And here his poor brothers down there stomping bricks, mud, carrying the workload, and here's Moses up here in Egypt with all the finery. And as maybe those that standing back looking probably really despised, there was probably some there that really despised Moses and thought, how can this be? They call him, he said he was going to be the deliverer. And look at him up there all dressed up in the fine linens and eating all their food and taking part in all that the Egyptians do. But that's what people saw. And you know, oftentimes people are so quick to judge by what we see with our natural eyes. And as being Christians, we should weigh each decision and how we view someone through the Word and by the Spirit. And not be so quick to judge. You know, I often think of how we were raised. And thank God for Christian homes that we was raised up in. And I thank God for the steps He brought me through from the church that I was raised in. Maybe someone listening to this, maybe this will give you some encouragement. Maybe you won't understand, but just, we raised up being taught that we were right. And everyone else was wrong. And that gets built into you, and you begin to look down on everyone else. And you begin to, because you're told you're better than so-and-so, you can't play with, maybe we were told you can't associate with this person that's in the world. And that being said, I firmly believe that as parents, we must watch our children, who we let them associate with, and how much association with the world we permit them to have. But nevertheless, we're not better than anyone. But that was an attitude that's bred into you, and you kind of grow up looking down. Maybe not intentionally, maybe not meaning to, but you have that air about you. I'm better than you because I go to this church and I'm better. My pastor's preaching the word 100% and I'm better. And it develops into your life. And you see it and you say, well, let's turn over here and read here in the book of Acts. And just show a little bit of this attitude that was bred into someone. Hey man, a creed can blind a person so strongly. But just because a creed has them blinded does not mean that there's not a germatized seed down on the inside. And that's what we must be careful of in this day. It's not to him that willeth or him that runneth, but it's to whom God has showed mercy. And we don't know who that is. But oftentimes as we travel through life, maybe we see somebody doing something. We see maybe somebody over here into this and into that, and we think, oh, that could never be. But yet down on the inside, what's God see? And oftentimes that's where, as our brother's been preaching, we must have that mind of Christ in all things. Total leadership of the Holy Spirit and guidance. Because we don't want to make mistakes that's been made in the past. And we want to be just like God would be. When it's in tune with Him, there is no confusion. There is no anything out of cater, it'll line up 100%, and He'll receive the glory and the honor from it. But you know, as our Apostle Paul here, raised up under Gamaliel and taught by great scholars, and he knew that law the way they had taught him. And in his mind, that's all he could see. He was right. He thought for sure he was right. And he followed his convictions greatly. And Brother Branham said he was highly respected a man that would follow his conviction, even though he might be wrong, till he's shown different, but he was standing on what he's seen. And I imagine if you could go back and see the Apostle Paul, this is in Acts, the 9th chapter, but just stop and think, as Paul walked down the street in his day, what people seen in Paul. Maybe he had on a nice robe of the, you know, and carried himself with great esteem. And as one of the religious, well-renowned there. And he walked down the road, and maybe he passed a poor Christian brother. And maybe he had his head held just a little too high. And maybe he kind of snubbed that one that he knew was following that person they called Jesus Christ. And you know, as he walked down the street, he was, in his mind, he was so right. And he was following his convictions to what he knew. But yet, in his life, down on the inside of there was a little seed that no one else could see. As he stood there and held the coats of those that stoned Stephen, how many must have stood back and said, oh, that man. You just got to put yourself back there and take on the reality of what was happening and truly see it in the light that it was. But God seen it different. God knew he had a work for Paul. And he knew that Paul was going to suffer many things. And you know, after Paul's conversion, he did suffer many things, great things. In the flesh he suffered. And you know, but God never forgot what was done on the inside. And as it says here in the book of Acts 9, just to go along and show you, it says, Saul, the first verse, the ninth chapter, and Saul yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men, women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. But we realize he was well taught in the scriptures, and God knew what it would take to catch his attention. He knew that moment when it would strike him, and he knew how to get his attention. There had many people, I'm sure, he'd already heard that it was Jesus, and how he had healed the sick, and I'm sure he had done and heard how he was going to raise the third day. He had heard all the talk that had been passed through Jerusalem after the resurrection. He had heard all of those things, and he knew about it. But yet God had to get his attention and get a hold of that little gene that was down on the inside of him. And God knew exactly how to do it. You know, Peter might have thought, well, this, I can do this. If Peter would have known Paul was that way, he might have thought, oh, I can do this, and I'll get Paul to see this for sure. But God was the only one that could deal with Paul's heart and bring him the way he wanted. But look what people saw at that time. Look at what the Christians must have felt in Saul. But it was evident after this happened and he went down to Ananias. And he come out of there. Actually, it says over here in the about the 19th verse, and he's talking and he says, and he'd been to Ananias, and he said, and when he had received meat, he was strengthened. And then was Saul with certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straight away he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he was the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priest? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is the very Christ. Oh, my saints, look what God can do in a life. Now, each one of us, we said here, in different circumstances, God saw us in his mind, each one of us, if we can see that we were in his thoughts. Each one of us has walked a different road. Each one of us has come a different way. But God had his hand in your life, whichever way you turned. He knew at what point it would take for you to see what he had for you. And you know, I often stop and think, 10 years ago, many of you would have looked at me and said, that boy, he needs some help. He needs a lot of help. And by God's grace, I did. And by God's grace, he'd give it to me. And you know, but look, and as we each one can sit here, we can weigh our lives. We can look where God has brought us from, maybe within the last year, within the last 5, within the last 10. We knew the word. We knew about the prophet. We knew what the scripture had said. But oh, there wasn't a reality there yet. There wasn't a realization burning in our heart. But oh my, how we could stand. But I want you to look at Paul there, how it happened to him. And God's, when it struck his heart, his life totally turned. And he wasn't looking for Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ went looking for him. Amen. And he found him. Same way with Moses when he ran to the desert. Oh my, there was that burning bush. It caught his attention. Oh my, it turned him aside. Hallelujah. Amen. And oh, what a difference it made at that point in his life. And let's go ahead and turn here to Mark. The 10th chapter. And read another one. Just a situation that people saw. Amen. Mark the 10th chapter. And we'll start there about the 17th verse. Very familiar. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled down to him and asked the good master, what shall I say at kneeled down, ask him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these I have observed from my youth. And oh my, if the disciples were standing around there, I'm sure they looked at that man and thought, my, he is really, what a testimony. And oh, look at his life. He said he's done that since his youth and observed all of that. But Jesus, knowing his heart, he answered and said, Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way and sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come, take up the cross and follow me. And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And oh my, he lost out on eternal life. But look at, oh, what a wonderful life he was leading, and how he recognized that Jesus was the good master. And oh, what must I do? Tell me. But then when it came, it was too much for him. And he couldn't do it. But these are three examples that if you was the judge and you were standing by watching these situations happen, what would you have thought at the time? Can you see how these people, what they were seeing? And maybe the same can be said for many of us. Maybe you knew one of us years ago or a long time ago and said, oh boy, that person really is something else. But have you seen what God can do in a person's life? You've heard about it. Maybe you've heard it preached over many pulpits, how God can change people. And for 35 years, nothing's ever been changed. People go on with backbiting and jealousy and envy. Nothing changes. But there is a reality to God's word. That these men of old, as their lives was changed to fulfill the place and purpose God had in their life, he still does today for that little elected bride that he's called aside. But oh my, oftentimes we judge by what we see with our eyes. And we don't give God a chance to show us what we really ought to be looking at. But I'd like to turn here in the message. Amen. Why Christ Speak, I believe it is. And this is on page 8. And he says, and Moses here, he's going to go back to Moses now. Moses here was born with his prophet. He was raised in an intellectual school in Pharaoh's palace. And the Pharaoh's city that he was raised up under was a man that still had honor and believed Joseph being the prophet of the Lord. But there come Ramses after Seti, and Ramses didn't care about Joseph. And so therefore there is when the trouble started now, when there raised up a Pharaoh who did not know Joseph. But these were great qualities. Let's speak of them just a little while before we get into the main part of the text. I have an odd way of setting a text and building to it, but the Lord help us this morning. He said, Moses being born with a great gift of faith. Then he was anointed and commissioned at the burning bush to deliver God's people. Now see what the great qualities this man had. He was born for a certain thing, and God had a purpose in it. And God has got a purpose of you being here. If you can only get to that place, how much trouble you save God and yourself too. Moses born, then he was afterwards, he was brought to the place where he was anointed. And notice the seed laying there with the intellectual conception, with all the faith that he was born to deliver this people. Yet it never come to life until that light from the burning bush flashed across it. Until he seen not something he read about, but something he seen with his eyes. Something that spoke to him and he spoke back to it. Oh, how that did bring things to life. And I think any man, woman, boy, or girl, I think an intellectual conception of what they think the word is, so forth, can never have a full foundational stand until they have met that light that brings the word to a reality. I think no church in its practice, no matter how intellectual and fundamental it might be, that church cannot thrive until the supernatural is made known among that people and they see it. Something that they can talk to that will talk back to them that vindicates that written word. And don't just think of something like a fiery burst, but he's speaking to the new birth taking place, a supernatural happening in your life. You know, so many go along claiming to be born again. And they claim to have the Holy Ghost. And God sent a prophet in this day to bring that to our attention of what the Holy Ghost would do in a person's life. And I just stop for a moment and think, since we've gathered in this little building, how the Holy Spirit has drove that home. And tried it. Why? Because it was a creed that was built into our minds that just say you're born again and that's all there is to it. And you've got the Holy Ghost. And because you could dance in the Spirit, because chills run down your back and you could run over the church, or you was happy and you was a fine brother in the church, maybe you was a deacon, a trustee, you stood up, oh, you was a pillar of the church. But the thing down on the inside wasn't no different than it's always been. It was just the lips that made the claim. But listen, his brother, this is something brother, our pastor has made reference to many, many times. And this is in the Church Age book, page 152 at the bottom of the page. A son of God can go a long time before he recognizes that he is a son. In fact, a lot of true Christians are like the story of the baby eagle that was hatched out under a hen. You know that eagle is a type of the true believer. A farmer took an egg from an eagle's nest and he placed it under a hen. And in due time, the eggs under that hen hatched out and the baby chicks got along fine with the mother hen. But that little eagle could not figure out the clucking and the scratching for food in that manure pile. And just take it into the spiritual. Maybe you used to sit in a church. Maybe you still go someplace that you just can't figure out how things go on. That you know it's contrary to Scripture, contrary to what the Bible says. And there's just something down inside of you that just won't agree with it. But yet you still think you're so right in everything you're doing. But your life doesn't have the fruits of the Spirit. You don't have peace in your heart. You don't have joy. You don't know what it is to be happy. But there is a true place for that true believer that experienced those things in each of our lives. And we can sit here in this category and not know. We can say we believe all truths and, oh, I'm serving God. But if I don't have the backing up of this word in my life, a vindication. When Moses went back into Egypt, there was a vindication following him. A sternness, a backbone. He endured with patience. When he walked into Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go," God told him to speak, and Pharaoh said, "Absolutely not." He didn't give up, and he didn't get all, "Oh, I thought we was going to leave Egypt." But he endured. "I'll be back." And he stayed there and delivered the message just the way God had told him to deliver it till they left Egypt. He held his place. Why? Because there was something down on the inside of him that was greater than he was that was holding him. He says he managed to make a... He's talking about the little bit. He said, "But one day up in the air, the mother eagle had laid an egg on the ground, and she swooped down with a tremendous speed and screamed at the top of her voice for him to fly up to meet her. He had never heard an eagle cry. But when he heard that first scream, something in him stirred. And oh my, how... You know, you get in a barnyard for so long, that's all you can hear. And you begin to think that's all there is to it. This chirping that we're hearing. This is it. This is right. This is what I'm following. This is all there is. I know the message front and back. But one time, let the Holy Spirit truly scream out. And if there's a germinative seed down on the inside, that Holy Spirit will catch it right quick. Oh my, it'll cause a stirring in you that can't be put out. Amen. He says... Again, the mother screamed for him to rise in the wind and follow her, and he screamed back that he was afraid. But once more she called out, screaming that he tried. Beating his wings, he hurled himself into the air, and answering the cry of his mother, he soared off into the blue skies. You see, he always was an eagle. He acted like a chicken for a little while, but he could not be satisfied. But when he heard the call of the great eagle, he came to his own place. And once a true son of God hears the cry of that spirit by the word, he too will realize who he is and run to that great prophet eagle and be with him forever, seated in heavenly places in Christ. And saints, just think, I'll never forget the day that God showed me personally. I knew there had been a prophet. I heard it all my life. I knew we were Christians and we were the bride of Christ. I had heard all of these things. I heard there was going to be a rapture. I heard all of it. I could tell you all about it. But thank God for the day that it became a reality in my heart that that's me and I am going to leave this earth. That there is an overcomer and that overcoming will take place in your life. There can be sweetness in your home. There can be joy in your life and happiness like you've never known. And you can have such an abundant joy. But it's got to come by only the giver that gives it, and that's Jesus Christ. And a new birth, a true new birth, not just a statement made with your mouth, but it's got to come from down on the inside. Just, amen, let me. Just to back that up, I want to, amen. Well, we'll just go on here. But this is in the message, the Easter seal. I read this not too long ago, but just thinking about that little eagle. Page 14, paragraph 84, and he says, "And the same thing with every true believer. When the preaching of God's word comes forth and it's vindicated and proved that it's God's word for this hour, there is something within that believer. I don't care how loyal his father was to church or how loyal his mother was or his grandparents. If the church is teaching contrary to this hour of the baptism of the Holy Ghost message, there's something in him that screams out. And he'll leave that barnyard. He's got to. The chicken might have been all right one day, but this is an eagle hour. It's different. There is something that he must leave that old coop and fly away into the blue. Then this earthly body is quickened and brought by the quickening spirit to the obedience of God's word." And saints, it's the truth of how it... When the Holy Spirit's on the inside of you, it will bring this body under subjection to that word. Amen. Here, this is, I think this is what I was looking for. Amen. Yes, this is in the message, Look. And saints, God, Brother Branham preached a message, God in Simplicity, and how each one of us here and anywhere must take into consideration God is a God of simplicity. And he means just what he says. And this is page 18. The message looked preached in April 28, 1963, paragraph 131. "Now today, you see, faith is designed to do this. Same faith today sees the same thing. A faith of the church today should see the same program of God." I want you, don't miss this now. The church today that's called of God will certainly see the same program of God. Because the program of God is written out here, the blueprint, and the Holy Spirit by faith is the one who reads it and sets it together. "Then how could a man say he's filled with the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit say a certain way to do something in the Bible, and this man comes around and says, oh, well, that's fanaticism. Could the Holy Spirit be the real Holy Spirit and deny its own word? No, it has to stay with the word because it's God. And if you can read a scripture or a quote and you don't see it lining up in your life and your life is not matching it, it's just exactly the way he said. You don't have the Holy Ghost. You're not born again. And how many have been so deceived into believing that they are? And they wonder and they read things, and a pastor will get up and say, but it's okay. We understand. We're spiritual. Don't you worry about it. It'll be all right. But if it's contrary to what God said, and that's what people fail to see, is God was speaking through these books and this Bible. And God is speaking today through the true fivefold ministry that he has called, that's bringing the word. You know, oftentimes we come through that door just like the rich young ruler. Lord, I've done this and I'm obeying you. What more in my life? And God standing here in the form of the Holy Spirit lays upon a man's lips what's to speak to our heart. And maybe we reject it just like the rich young ruler and walk out. And maybe we've heard the word and maybe we look all so good. But it's not that. He says, what are you looking at? What are you seeing? We must see Jesus. And the only way to see Jesus is see that word. It's the natural symbol of the Spirit. You know what I mean? It is the letter that the Spirit quickens, see? That is the letter that the Spirit quickens, this letter, and makes it a reality. Moses looked by faith. And the man today who sees God programmed does the same thing, looks by faith. But Moses later seen this great thing. When the people got into trouble, what did he do? He made a serpent out of brass. And he put it on a pole. And when they were bitten by serpents because of their unbelief, whosoever looked upon this serpent lived. Notice, the man who just came and looked. Now the stick, the pole it was on, was just a piece of a tree that was cut down there in the wilderness. This Bible's just a bunch of trees, just a bunch of paper with printing on it. These books the same way. But he says, and the tree was cut down there in the wilderness, probably a piece of mesquite or something that you'd be, ironwood, whatever it might be, it had done, been separated from its natural growth, and it was dead within itself. And the brass was probably a piece of the helmets from the Romans or something that they had took in a salvage. It was molded and put together and made a serpent. And if man come out there just as an idol to look upon that serpent, they received nothing. But when the true believer come out there and looked upon that serpent with the spiritual revealed truth, amen. That serpent itself being just a form of a serpent, it represented sin already judged, and they seen sin, their unbelief already under judgment from that serpent in the Garden of Eden. They received their healing. Why? Because they was looking at it with a spiritual. They had seen. It had been revealed to them. And oh my, how that, as we look at so many situations, you know, I was born and raised in church. Oh, I can tell you many things, and maybe I looked all so good. But that's not enough. It takes the revealed word made alive in our hearts and in our lives. Christ represented. I don't think my own thoughts. I don't live no longer. It's Christ. I can't just be the same old person I used to be. It should be a daily overcoming. There should be a change in our lives. It's a little song, oh, there's been a change in me. How that ought to truly be a reality in our hearts and our lives. I'm not the same person that I used to be. I don't think the way I used to think. I don't do things the way I used to do. But I wonder, as people look at us today, how they see us. Do they still see the same person I've always been all my life? Or can they say, you know, I remember when, and now he's not like that anymore. I remember when that man had a severe temper. He don't have a temper anymore. I remember when that man used to get really upset. He don't do that no more. I remember when this used to happen, and he used to go here and go there, and he don't do all that no more. There was a change in his life. The same as it was in Paul's, same as it was in Moses when God revealed it to him. But what people were seeing at the time, it didn't look like they could ever be that person. It didn't look like that was the one God was going to use. And how often we get blinded because of someone saying, well, that person's done this and that person's done that. And we don't even know the truth, but we take what someone said and we let it kill that person's character. And then maybe God may try to use that person to influence our lives, and we won't let him because of something that we're holding on to. A grudge, a creed, something that's keeping me bound. But if you can turn loose of your grudges and your creeds and look back to God and let him show you what's right and what's wrong. He's there to open your eyes, but you've got to have a hungry heart. Amen. And look on his word. Hey, man, this is in the message. Then Jesus came and called. And as we're back to looking at what people saw, and this is, he's talking about the little lady at the well. And oh my, how everybody, Brother Branham described her so many times in so many messages, that it was obvious that anyone that seen that little lady knew she was a prostitute. They knew she was of ill fame. And they knew all about her. They didn't have to ask nobody. They could look at that life and see, this is what she is. That's what they seen. The human being saw. And maybe in their mind, there was no hope. Maybe they were in that religious crowd again, and I'm a Christian, and I don't do those things, and I got my head up here, and I ain't paying no attention. But how Jesus, because he was looking on the things of God and not the things of earth, as he says here, he said, but this is a different touch. Let me see, over here. Amen. I must have got the wrong page. Amen. Yes, here it is. Page 19, paragraph 150, and then Jesus came and called. And he says, well, what about it? In her darkest of hours, when her morals were gone, maybe a pretty little lady been turned out on the street to live like that. Sometimes it's not the little girl's fault, it's the parents' fault to let her get out like that. Yes. And there she was, maybe her little curls all hanging down. And she was depleted, going along, weary. Nobody had anything to do with her and the child, maybe a big story behind it. And anyhow, I know one thing. She had read the Bible and she believed the Bible. And there was a little seed laying down in her heart. Says, if it ever happens, I'll know it. She was predestinated to that. But look at old Judas standing there, acting like what he did. But it was black down in the bottom of his heart. The light was shining up here in his works. And how often that's how it is. Look at, you look around and, oh my, it looks like someone's just so spiritual and so, they're so. But we don't see what's done on the inside. And that's where God's looking. And maybe sometimes we go seeking the wrong thing when we go looking, trying to help someone. God knows where each one is placed and what their desire is. And oh, how we ought to cry out to him that he would lead us in the right direction to help someone. And not lean to our own understanding of all of it. I can do this over here and show this person how to see it. But Judas standing there acting like what he did, and it was black. The light was shining up there in his works, but down in his heart he didn't believe it. And here she was. See, the light couldn't get down to that, but here she was. She believed it, but her life was blacked out. But when that light struck, it took the blackness out. And oh, brother, how it does. It'll straighten your life up. It'll straighten my life up. But we might sit here, and we might look all so good. And we might say, oh, I'm following the message, and I believe this, and I believe that. And, oh, I'm right here. But the word come in the smallest thing, and we might shut it off and turn God aside. And someone that just looks like they could not be what God would choose, would gobble it up and say, Lord, that's me. And God make the change in their life. But how we should be careful to weigh out and let God speak to our hearts on each of these situations. Amen. But oh my, as he says here, he says, that's what this is in the message, is your life worthy of the gospel, preached June 30th, 63. That's what's the matter with a lot of people today. You think because you belong to a lodge, you just couldn't forsake that brotherhood. They all drink and things like that. They do this, all right, go along with it. Nothing against the lodge. Nothing against the church. I'm talking about you. Yes, see, nothing against that. For six of one and half a dozen the other, I just got through telling you the church was nothing but a lodge, the denomination, if they deny the word of God. Notice, the rich man had his excuses. He had never forsaken his testimony, though. We find out that he went to great business, and he had knowledge, and he went to such a place till he had to increase so much, till he had to build new barns to put his things in. And when he died, some bachelor with his collar turned around, preached his funeral, no doubt, and when he did, he might have said they half-masted the flags and said, oh, dear, beloved brother, the mayor of this city, now in arms of Almighty, because there was a great member of the church, he did so and so and so and so. But the Bible said in hell he lifted up his eyes being in torment. And remember, he still wanted to hold his profession in hell. He seen Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham, and he said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus down here, still calling him Father, see? He took his knowledge and went to an intellectual church, but when the light struck him, he turned it down. And if that isn't the modern trend of the church today, I don't know. Don't know it. No matter what God flashes across the path, the pillar of fire, whatever it might be, they still, with their knowledge, they can explain it away and go to the intellectual group for the social standing. But Paul was already in social standing with great knowledge. A great scholar under Gamaliel, right hand to the high priest, insomuch till he went to the priest and got orders to put all them holy rollers in jail. But when the light struck his path, he seen that the same pillar of fire that led Israel through the wilderness was Jesus Christ. And he forsook all he ever knew and come to life. Oh my. Saints, there's a reality to it. And are we seeing that reality in our life? Or are we just church members? Or do we hunger for that walk with Christ to where he is our all in all? Where we're so in tune that we want him to do the greater works in our lives. We want to be a vessel in his hand that he can use. Or do we still just a people that we're going to church? I know Brother Branham was a prophet, and I believe everything he said. And we don't have the acts of the Holy Spirit in our life that he said would be in that true born-again experience. And oh, we might look so good because we come to church, because we gather in and worship, but one word lacking, we're in the same boat as somebody that's lacking a whole lot of words. And that's where We must, as individuals, it ought to be in our heart to cry out, Lord, make me a firebrand for you, Lord. Set my life that it is different. Don't let people see the old me. Don't let them see what I used to be. The way maybe I used to treat my wife, the way I used to treat my children, the way I used to treat my mom and dad or this and that. But they can see a changed person, and why? When they see that change, they can go back to the scriptures and see that it's lining up. Well, that's what it says there. Honor thy father, and he truly does. And how each word that's in that scripture should be alive in our hearts. But nevertheless, don't never judge a book by its cover, as these natural eyes look. But how we should weigh it, because someone that we think, oh, that could never be, God might bring that one in. You sisters can come to the instruments. That might be the very vessel that God's working on. And oh my saints, how we should be so careful. You know, you might have a dad, you might have a son, someone that maybe feels like they've turned their back on you. And maybe you love them dearly. But oh my, just pray. Just continue to pray for them. Say, Lord, if it be your will, and you take a hand. But there's nothing we can say with our lips. There's nothing we can do to help someone that's blinded by a creed. It takes the Holy Spirit to remove those scales off of the eyes. A human being can't do it. But oh, I long to see the Holy Spirit set men free. How great it is to see someone be liberated under the Holy Spirit and see God take their life in their hand. Maybe see an old hard heart, the tears begin to roll down the cheeks, and see God soften them up and make them a vessel that he can use. But oh my, he's still in the life-changing business. But just remember, outward appearances don't always justify. But it's what's on the inside, and only God knows. But oh my saints, we're living in an age where it's going to be very, very few. But oh, may we be one of them. As we said here, and as we come in as a congregation, may my life express. You know, even the way we worship, as I said, it truly shows my relationship with Jesus Christ. This is something that you can hear about and know about, but if it's never been a true reality of what took place right there, it won't mean nothing to you. If you don't ever see yourself as really lost, and you was really blind and you couldn't see, and how you stumbled through life and made blunders and maybe thought you was a mighty big man or this and that, but how Jesus Christ with the word can come in and truly shine the light of reality into your heart and how it'll open it up. And it goes that way with every scripture. Don't ever draw a conclusion that I believe it just like this and that's the way it is. And the Holy Spirit may come and try to show you different and you just won't heed. But oh, may we cry out that, Lord, keep me tender. And don't ever let me raise up and think I'm all spiritual and all knowing, because I need you, Lord. Amen. I need you every day, every hour. Amen. But my saints, I pray to God that somehow he'll take us in his hand. And may someone here get the experience that your life would make the difference in somebody else's life. Not your mouth, not your words, but your life. Make the difference that would bring somebody else to know Jesus Christ. Not just to know this message, not just to know that this Bible exists, but to know Jesus Christ and the person, that his personality would be housed in them. Oh my, and bring a life under subjection to that word. And may it be burning in our life. May our personalities be gone. You know, I was just thinking, we were the brothers as we came in, just was discussing being like your dad, you know? And well, all of us are, and we can't deny it, not a one of us. If you was born from dad, it would be against all human nature and against everything God set in motion for you not to have the genes of your father and be like him. But nevertheless, maybe you can look and see the type of man your father was. Maybe he was a drunkard. Maybe he was this, that, or the other. Maybe he had temperament this way, but... And oftentimes, many people will stand and say, well, I'm this way because my dad was. And I do this because my mom did. But oh, when Jesus Christ comes in, I do this because Jesus Christ does this. And it will change that life to match that word. And then you have representation of your heavenly Father. A true representation of my Father. Oh, my saints, take into consideration some of the things. Maybe back over your life, you can look and see how you once thought. Maybe you once did. Is it still the same? Or can you see where the word has changed your life. The Word made the difference. Oh my, I pray you can. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. It's a little different, saints, but just words to think about. And I don't know why, but just keep that in mind, what people seen and what really laid down on the inside. And that goes for any of us, saints. May we each be a vessel that God can use. Amen. He's so good to me. Amen. And you know, I like that little chorus. He's real, real. He's so real to me. Let's sing that as our brother comes. He's real, real, real. He's so real to me. Yes, he's real, real, real. He's so real to me. He's real, real, real. He's so real to me. And that is why I love him so. He's so real to me. When he baptized me with the Holy Ghost, and he's so real to me. Yes, he baptized me with the Holy Ghost, and he's so real to me. He baptized me with the Holy Ghost, and he's so real to me. And that is why I love him so. He's so real to me. Amen. Is he real to you, saints? Is it truly a reality to you? Sometimes, when you see things, and when you see where you come from, and you can see the simplest scripture that someone's struggling with, and oftentimes you might honestly say in yourself, they just don't understand what the Word says. But don't let it become that way to you. But by grace, I understand. Why do I understand? Because God's revealed it. He took the time, the smallest scripture, to stop and reveal to me. Why a woman doesn't cut her hair? He revealed it to me. Not something the Bible says you ain't supposed to, and that's all there is. No, it's he revealed that why a sister should look the way she does, and a brother. Oh, saints, it's a reality. This Word is coming alive.
Amen.
There is a life. We've heard, there's life coming into the body for so many years. We heard that. And things never changed. You called backbiting life, and you called all these different things that was still going on, life, hatred, and envy. And it still is in the churches. People can't get along, so this one won't come to church because that one does. And it's still going on all over. But that's not Christ. Jesus Christ will remove all hatred, all malice. There will be a love that you can't contain, a joy and a peace, and it's such a unity. And oh my, it's a reality. Now it's more, oh my, I wish you could just feel inside. When you can see, God is moving. He delivers again. He still does. It's not a song. He's still delivering. Every time I come to those doors and I hear the Word, he's delivering me. He's cutting something off of me, and I see that grain ripening. It's like taking the old hoe and chopping around the corn, getting the weeds out. And oh my, you can just feel the rejuvenation in your heart. And as our brother brought there Sunday, that city's in view. It's a reality. I'm going to be there. It's not just something I'm hoping for. It's not a dream. It's not just a maybe it's going to be, but it is a reality in my heart. I'm going to take a trip. Oh, it ought to burn so just jubilee in our heart. It's a time of soberness. It's a time of seriousness. But oh, how we ought to be on fire for God. You know, back on the day of this Latter-day Pentecost, there was an excitement in people's hearts. They wanted to speak in tongues. They wanted to do these things. Because it was the gifts. That didn't fade away. Those gifts are still in operation as God wants to use them. And we've got so much more. We understand why those gifts came. By God's grace, he revealed why those gifts were there. He revealed why it came in stages. We've been so abundantly blessed. Oh, why shouldn't I praise the Lord? Why shouldn't I raise my hands? Why shouldn't I wave palm branches? Can you imagine? Go over there when... If the Lord would come and walk down the road, do you think it'll just be, why shouldn't I praise the Lord? And oh, he's so real to me. Oh, but it'll be burning in your heart. And how real it ought to be right now. You know, I was listening to the message today. Who is this Melchizedek? And right at the very tail end of that message, when Brother Branham was having a prayer line, there was a woman laying on a cot. And he had been preaching his heart out, and he had been telling them. And he had already called out many in the congregation. But right at the tail end of that, he said, there's a woman here on a cot. And you can just barely hear him as he gets down. This is not a good recording. But when that woman stood up off of that cot and the people really truly seen with their natural eye, she was healed. You could hear it just move through the building.
Yes.
The wave of, oh. And that same God is here.
Hallelujah.
Moses endured because he seen him who was invisible.
Yes.
He knew that God was with him.
Amen.
That burning bush didn't walk beside him to Egypt.
Oh.
But it was still just as real.
And oh
my, how it ought to burn in our hearts that God that met Moses in that burning bush, that God that met Paul,
amen,
that same God that was here in the pillar of fire with Brother Branham, the same God that was housed in Brother Branham, a part of himself, and the same God that was doing the calling out those visions through Brother Branham, and the same God that healed that lady up off that cot stands here tonight.
Amen.
And you know, I thought to myself, like, Lord, here we stand at people. Maybe I've got diabetes. Maybe I've got this and I got that and I need this. And you know, if Brother Branham was to hear him today and having a meeting, I wonder how many of us would be trying to get in that door to get in that prayer line that he's got, that he would have had. But that same God is standing here. And with the reality, he's come and brought this precious word, trying to reveal to the heart of a bride.
Amen.
The why cry? Just speak it. Trying to get us, but are we seeing it? Do we see that reality in my life? That God is living today. He's still here. And I don't need someone to lay hands on me. I don't need him here in a physical form. I know he's here. Oh, I feel it. I'm not like Thomas. Lord, where'd they pierce your side? But oh, it's a reality from the inside that you know, that you know, that you know. Oh my, I pray it'll burn in our hearts. As our Brother Branham had those healing services, and many came to those prayer lines because they needed him. They needed it. Maybe it was their last moment.
Yes.
And here we stand. That same God is here every service.
Yes, amen.
I wonder if we ever stop to think and ask, Lord, I'd like to be in that prayer line. You don't have to have a prayer line, but if your heart, and Brother Branham tried to tell, reach out and touch him. He's the one you reach out in faith.
Amen.
But have we heard about healing so long and how to have faith that it just went over our heads and we know all there is to know about it? We don't feel there's any more God can teach us.
Oh, God.
But oh, if we could just humble ourselves down, maybe we don't have a true understanding and say, Lord, reveal that to me in its fullness.
Amen.
Oh my, what God could do. And it's not about a man and then a man getting glory. You ought to see that brother so-and-so prayed for so-and-so and they got right up off the bed. It ain't that no more.
Amen.
It's that sister, she was laying in that bed and she prayed to God and she come up out of that bed right now. Oh, faith in God will move mighty mountains.
Amen.
But oh my, do we want him in our midst.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
Glory.
Amen. Just some things that's on my heart. Amen. You know,
we've
got so much more that God can do for us.
Oh, yes.
And we've come so far. And we got so far to go, it seems.
Yes.
But Lord, take us on. Lord, here's my hand. Lord, raise us up.
Amen.
That we would be that shining light for him.
Hallelujah.
That the works that he done would be manifest in these bodies.
Yes.
That it would prove that he is alive. That quickening power is dwelling within in everything we do. Amen. Hallelujah. Just sing that little chorus again as our brother comes. Amen. Oh, he's real, real, real. He's so real to me.
Yes, he's real, real, real. He's so real to me.
Well, he's real, real, real. He's so real to me. And that is why I love him so. He's so real to me. Hallelujah. See that real?
Yeah.
Oh, my, enjoyed a lot of things said there. I tell you, I couldn't help but to think in closing. I know you've been standing quite a while now, but in closing, I was thinking about that word again. You know, he was holding the Bible there and talking about, you know, trees. Trees has been cut down to print those paper pages and so forth.
But I couldn't help but to think, as the scripture says, that the word is spirit and it is life.
Yes.
The word of God is inspired.
Amen.
You know, we can, as being one that's born again, and you standing there that's born again, and if we'd get up here reading that Bible as our brother did tonight, we'll say maybe if we'd read in St. John 14, when he which is the comforter shall come. On the inside, you already feel something.
Amen.
There's a reality to it.
Yes.
When you know you're born again, when he which is the comforter shall come, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you.
Amen.
Now I could take and pick up something else. Now, I don't know about you, but just rehearsing that word, I felt the Spirit in it. There's a reality to it. I'm a part of that. It's a part of me. Isn't that what it is to you?
Amen.
You become a part. You become one with Christ, which is the Word. Isn't that right?
Amen.
Now, what if I pick up something else? I don't know if I got... Here's a pledge bottle. Let's just read something that's on here and see if it does anything for you. Directions. Shake well before use. Hold can upright about 6 inches from surface and spray. Wipe immediately with a clean, dry cloth. Did that have any life to it?
No.
There's no life to it, but it's words. It's printed on this label, on this bottle, or can. But you talk about, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, I feel the Holy Spirit right in those words.
Amen.
Because His Word is Spirit and it is life.
Amen.
He's real to us.
Amen.
He's real, real, real. He's so real to me. Oh, I feel the anointing on those words.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Just thinking about the Word. Just pick up the Bible and read. It's so real. So much life to it. Hallelujah. But you pick up a daily newspaper, ain't no life there.
Right.
Ain't no life. But all there is in that word.
Amen.
Because that word is spirit and it is life.
Amen.
Oh, he's real, real, real. He's so real to me. Yes, he's real, real, real. He's so real to me. Well, he's real. So real to me, and that is why I love him so. He's so real to me. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, it's been so good to be here with you again this evening. How we truly appreciate you with all our heart. You're just so wonderful in all that you do. For it just seems like, Lord, I don't care what it is, you do everything just so perfect and so right. Just everything is just precise. How could we ever complain about anything you do? I know, Lord, there was a time that the children of Israel complained about everything it seemed you had to do for them. And you made it so right for them and so easy for them and made it a way that it was impossible for it not to work. Yet they begin to complain, and they complain often. I think about that today, Lord. How could we ever complain about anything how you do it? Because you do it so right. And we so appreciate it, Lord. From the depths of our heart, we appreciate it. And Lord, just like the word as it came forth this evening, oh Lord, there's a good grounds, and Father, good seeds fell in them good grounds. How we appreciate it so very much. We ask now, Lord, as we part from this little place, that you'd prepare hearts again for the next service, if you should tarry. And Lord, get us ready for again the hearing of the word and give us revelation of it. Father, we want to make sure we've got the reality of every word now.
Amen.
Every word. We can't miss a word now. A man shall not live by bread alone, every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. So bless us now, Lord, as we part from this little place. And
we keep you in our hearts and our minds, and may we truly have the mind of Christ in everything that we do. And again, Lord, we know we can't do it in ourselves, so we give you all the glory and the honor and all the praise, for truly you're worthy of all of it.
Amen.
In your precious name we ask it now, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Let's sing a little chorus I love so well too. I love him. Before we leave. I love him. Sunday we'll have Brother Seth with us from Arizona. He was the one that took us around in Arizona and showed us where a lot of things was, and took us to different places where Brother Branham had been and so forth. And so he'll be with us for probably about 3 weeks, Lord willing. He's going to be staying with Paul and Heather. So Lord willing, we'll have a little visitor with us there Sunday. So amen. He may look a little gruff and, you know, rough looking on the outside edges because of what he does. He's a tour guide, basically, or a hunting guide, and goes up into Canada and things and stays in tents a lot and so forth. Actually, he was teasing us when we was out there in Arizona, and he said, you know, I got to find a wife, he said, that wants to live in a tent. And I think it was Paul said, boy, you're going to have a hard time finding one who wants to live in a tent. So, you know, of course, he was just kind of teasing about it, you know, but, you know, he's got a real tender way about him, good sweet spirit about him. So we're just looking forward to having him with us, Lord willing. Amen. So just be praying, Lord, give him a safe journey. He's going to be flying out. And like I say, the Lord will bless our services with him. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.